Our next story tells the tale of a lowly intern who worked with a radio icon. No, let's make that worshipped at the feet of a radio icon. And went on to become a James Beard and Webby Award-winning podcaster who now has a new book. Hey, wait, I'm not in the book. Dan Fashman is the creator and host of the wildly successful podcast, The Sporkful. And as his fans know, he also created his own kind of corkscrew pasta in 2021. His cascatelli went viral. It was on the cover of Time magazine. Intern Dan, are you kidding me?
That's right.
And Dan Fashman joins us in the studio. Welcome.
It's great to see you, Robin. I mean, I was your intern. That
you
was my first real gig in radio. It was with you right here in Boston. So I'm so excited to be with you.
Well, I'm claiming you. And not only a James Beard Award winner, two-time James Beard Award winner. How did this happen? Because I remember you liking donuts and bagels. And where did it go to food?
Well, I liked food. I mean, I obviously had an interest in radio from the time I graduated college, was interning with you. For about a decade, I was working in news radio, news politics, news coverage. Long story short, it was a tumultuous time in the world of radio. I got laid off from about six jobs in 8 years. Friends of mine were starting podcasts. I knew that was the future. And I figured if I own my own podcast, at least no one can lay me off but me.
Right.
And I figured, well, you know, I have a lot of opinions about food. I think I have a quirky, idiosyncratic approach to food. I'm not a chef, but I love to eat. Why don't I try a podcast with the motto, it's not for foodies, it's for eaters.
Yes. And the foreword to your new book, Anything's Pastable, is from chef and food writer J. Kenji Lopez-Alt. I mean, you're respected by real people in food. How would you characterize how you approach food?
I'm obsessive about the details of food and about the eating experience. I'm sort of a very analytical person.
Let's just, for listeners saying, well, what's detailed? You insist that we eat a slice, and this is what Kenji reminds us, we eat our slice of wonderful oil-soaked New York pizza folded with the inside out.
If you fold your pizza inside out, it puts the cheese landing and the sauce landing directly on your tongue. It puts the crust in the center, and it's a very different experience. And it's fun. It's silly. I like it sometimes. But more than anything, it teaches you that you don't need to be a chef to have fun eating. And I'm the kind of person who has always been playing with my food.
Another one is put the slice of cheese on the bottom of the burger.
Right, cheeseburger. Put the cheese on the bottom because it brings the cheese closer to your tongue to accentuate cheesy goodness. It also creates a seal to prevent the bottom bun from turning soggy.
No, to prevent soggage.
Yes, right. Thank you for using the technical term, Robin. I didn't want to lose you with this high-level mumbo-jumbo. But look, I missed whole exits on the freeway just because I was thinking about the best way to dip a tortilla chip without having a break off in the guacamole. So, yes. And somehow I managed to turn this into a career.
I know. Oh, and the cover of Time magazine.
Yes, that's right.
I'm stuck on that. But for instance, this I mean, people have heard about the pasta that you invented, and this was your whole family was tortured with this for years. What, to me, and we'll have pictures at the website, to me, it looks like a corkscrew with like a little flat end. And as you say, it's the best elements of two of your favorite shapes, Mafaldi and Bucatini, neither of which I knew. Can you synopsize? You've talked about this before, but so what is it about what you invented? And it is now being sold.
So I have these three metrics that I use to judge all pasta shapes. So there's forkability, how easy is it to get it on the fork and keep it there? Sauceability, how well does sauce adhere to the shape? And tooth sink ability, which is how satisfying is it to sink your teeth into it? And a lot of pasta shapes are pretty good at one or two of those. Very few nail all three. Spaghetti barely gets one. All right. Try to get a good bite of spaghetti on your fork, Robin. You can't.
Yeah.
It's either going to be too big or too small. You're going to have danglers wiping sauce all over your face.
Okay.
And then when you're done with the spaghetti, half the sauce is still on the plate. Right? That's a design flaw.
Yes.
And so,
by God.
So cascatelli is a short shape. It has one sort of flat component, and then it has two parallel ruffles sticking up perpendicular to the flat portion. And those two parallel ruffles have a sort of a canyon between them that I call the sauce trough. When sauce goes inside between those two ruffles, it's like those ruffles act as teeth. They chomp onto that sauce and they will not let it go. And that was just from my research. I fell in love with Mafalda. It's a shape that's like fettuccine, long flat noodle, but with ruffles down the edges. You could also think of it like a narrow lasagna.
Yes.
And I just love the ruffles. And I hit upon that and I said, you know, not enough pasta shapes have ruffles. Ruffles hold sauce phenomenally. They hold little bits and pieces better than tubes do. And they create kind of a fun, playful texture in your mouth that just makes the eating experience more dynamic. So I said, my shape must have ruffles. And that was kind of the first inspiration.
And then it's not, I mean, when you talk about taking deep dives, you have an entree for some reason. You must tell them you were my intern.
Yeah.
Because you speak with some of the best pasta designers, who knew, to nail down some of your ideas. So who are some of the people you spoke with?
Well, you know, so first I had to get a pasta dye made. The dye is like the mold. Turns out there's only one guy left in America today who's still making pasta mm-hmm. dyes. Mm-hmm. His name is Giovanni. He lives in Draycott, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making dyes for like Kraft mac and cheese and Campbell's noodle soup. So he didn't have a whole lot of time for a podcaster with a dream. But I bugged and harassed him, as I did when tracking down guests for you as your intern, Robin. I bugged and harassed him until he relented and agreed to meet with me, and he helped me design it. I had to find a company to produce it for me, and I was able to team up with a company called Sfoglini in upstate New York. It's spelled Sfoglini to manufacture it. But along the way, I got a lot of doors slammed in my face. A lot of people in the pasta business who said, this is a terrible idea. My wife was far from convinced that the world needed another pasta shape. But I had told people that I was going to do it, so I kind of felt like I had to follow through on it.
Yeah, well, and you did, and to great success. And now your wife and children are like, yes, we made...
That's right, that's right. Now I go to like food events, and they're hanging out at the table with me, passing out samples of the pasta.
What you're seeing, and that's what brings us to the cookbook, you're seeing what people are doing with your pasta. Sometimes people killing themselves to make the tomato sauce, you have an opinion on that, or meat sauce or mac and cheese. Nothing wrong with that. But the book, Anything's Possible, is about what? About other choices for what to do with shells.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was sending me pictures of what they were making with cascatelli, and it was the same old standbys. And it just made me realize how narrow the realm of pasta sauces is for most Americans. And I realized that even I myself could sometimes fall into that red sauce rut.
Yeah.
So I decided to write an entire cookbook of non-traditional, new and different pasta sauces. There's no recipe in this cookbook for marinara sauce. There's no classic bolognese or lasagna. I'm not against those. I like them. I just don't think the world needs another recipe for those. So instead, we're doing everything from a cacio e pepe with chili crisp, a cavatelli with roasted artichokes and preserved lemon. There's a scallion oil bucatini. This one my family loves. It's a scallion oil bucatini with a fried egg on top. You break the yolk and it runs down into the sauce of lemon and soy sauce and butter. And it's creamy and tangy. And it's got a couple different kinds of scallions in it. Just so delicious. And there's just so much. I mean, pasta, it has that carby, starchy, comfort food vibe that we all know and love.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a mild flavor, which in many ways makes it a blank canvas.
As you said, you don't have the recipe for tomato sauce, but you have what's sort of a flow chart.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would make tomato sauce from scratch in today's day and age, because there are now so many great high-quality jarred tomato sauces out there. I have some instructions in the book for how to pick out high-quality pasta and high-quality sauce in the store. And once you buy your high-quality jar of sauce, I say follow my jarred tomato sauce decision tree. You want your jar of sauce to be heartier, crunchier, crispier, spicier, more savory. Answer the questions, follow the flow chart, and you'll end up with about 15 different recipes, all starting with a jar of sauce and some very simple tweaks that will make it new and different again.
I've never heard of a lot of these things. So the pan-seared mushroom quattrotini with furikake pancrottato.
Right. So furikake is a mixture of seaweed and salt. Different versions have different combinations. It's Japanese seasoning mix, really. Pancrottato is seasoned toasted breadcrumbs. It's common in Italy to do seasoned toasted breadcrumbs on a range of dishes, but I'm adding more different flavors to those things. I was very conscious in putting this book together of like, where am I going to ask people to put in extra effort? Because I want it to be accessible. Mm-hmm. I'm a home cook. I'm not a professional chef. This book is for home cooks. And so I'm not going to ask you to make pasta from scratch. I'm going to tell you to use jarred sauce. If there's tortellini, we're going to use the store-bought tortellini. But I'm going to ask you to go out and get furikake if you don't already have it in your kitchen. It's pretty widely available now, because I think that's the one ingredient that's going to take this dish to the next level.
I'm having kind of like a post. I don't want to mock people who truly have post-traumatic stress, but I'm kind of having it now because I'm remembering how insistent you were on the way to do things and how excited you were about new ways to do things. I mean, this seems like what's compelling you.
But that, I think that's why you and I got along from the start, honestly, Robin, is that you were the kind of host who would come into the studio with a scrap of paper or a thing that you tore out of a newspaper of a story that you were excited about. And you would come in and be excited about something, and I would get excited, and we'd all be excited together. You know, like, that's what makes our job fun, is when you get excited about it. And so I'm grateful that I've now been hosting the Sporkful podcast for 14 years, I'm still love eating, and I'm still excited to learn new things and to try new things and to share what I learn with my listeners and my readers.
It's just so great. So do you think this is it? Or is there already something that you're thinking?
I mean, you know me, Robin. There are always going to be new ideas. I think any creative person is always going to be driven to come up with new things. I don't know exactly what next steps will be. I really enjoyed doing this cookbook. It was a lot harder than I expected, but I learned a lot doing it. So I would love to have a crack at doing another one, because I would love to be able to use what I learned in this one. But I'm taking a group of folks to Italy on a pasta tour this fall, so maybe get into more things like that. And who knows? You know, I don't really believe in 5 or 10 year plans. I just like to run full speed ahead at the next thing that I'm excited about.
Where did I go wrong? I sit in the studio.
I think you're doing great, Robin.
Thank you. That's award-winning podcaster, cookbook writer, former intern Dan Pashman. The new cookbook is Anything's Possible. It's so much fun. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.